How privileged we are to gather together to celebrate this nice liturgy of the word for you guys all at home. Especially you all at home, or to review your liturgy of the word for this Sunday if you've already been to Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Or, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ is another one of my favorites for these little liturgies of the word. My brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. You were sent to heal the contrite of heart. Lord, have mercy. You came to call sinners. Christ, have mercy. You were seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on us, poor sinners. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, heavenly King, O God, almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world. Receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ. With the Father and the Holy. Have mercy on us, for you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. I think I made a small mistake there, I'm sorry, but I lost the page and dropped the book. Anyway, back to Magnificat. And this is actually the very last day of the month of this Magnificat for August. August 21st. God of might, giver of every good gift, put into our hearts the love of your name, so that by deepening our sense of reverence, you may nurture in us what is good, and by your watchful care, keep safe what you have nurtured. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Of course, we're going to have our readings now. Let me do something to work in the Divine Office readings. Or would you like to do that afterward, entirely afterward? Let's just go with the Mass readings, that way it'll be more standard. A reading from the Book of Sirach. My child, conduct yourself, your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than a giver of gifts. Humble yourself the more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God. What is too sublime for you, seek not. Into things beyond your strength, search not. The mind of a sage appreciates proverbs, and an attentive ear is the joy of the wise. Water quenches a flaming fire, and alms atones for sins. The word of the Lord. God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor. The just rejoice and exult before God. They are glad and rejoice. Sing to God, chant praise to his name, whose name is the Lord. Lord, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor. the father of orphans and the defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. Lord, in your goodness you have made a home for the poor. God gives a home to the forsaken. He leads prisoners forth to prosperity. God, in your goodness you have made a home for the poor. A bountiful rain you have showered down, O God, upon your inheritance. You restored the land when it languished. Your flock settled in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided it for the needy. God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor. Caption here is, you have approached Mount Zion and the city of the living God. Brothers and sisters, you have not approached that which could be touched, and a blazing fire, and gloomy darkness, and storm, and a trumpet blast, and a voice speaking words such that those who heard begged that no message be further addressed to them. No, you have approached Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and countless angels in festival gathering, and the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and God, the judge of all, and the spirits of the just made perfect, and Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks more elegantly than that of Abel. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia. Take my yoke upon you, says the Lord, and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Alleluia. Alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him. And the host who invited both of you may approach and say, give your place to this man, and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, my friend, move up to a higher position. Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, when you host a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends, or your brothers, or your relatives, or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Magnificat has a pretty good meditation that I think opens up a lot of the connections here. Today's Gospel would seem at first sight to be no more than a piece of worldly wisdom or a page from a secular book of manners in which the reader is advised to follow an exaggerated form of modesty. In fact, manners of good behavior cannot be separated from Christian morals, since Christianity cannot succeed where ordinary humanity is absent. The biblical authors always had the task of trying to prevent human manners from becoming extremely purely external and making them deeper and more central in man's life. This is clear from the book of Sirach, whose author speaks in his instruction about good behavior of the contrast between pride and humility and between self-glorification and readiness to love others. In the parable about choosing places at table, Jesus taught at the deepest level possible. It is a parable of the history of the world in which a ruthless struggle for power has always taken place with little thought for the fate of others. God, who entered human history in Jesus Christ himself, does not participate in this struggle. All his life, from Bethlehem and Nazareth to Golgotha, Jesus took the lowest place. What he said in this parable is verified by the whole of his life and suffering. He was always on the side of the lowest and the last, and though he, and through him, those who are the lowest and the last become the highest and the first. Indeed, he became so completely identified in his life and teaching with the lowest place that he made himself present with us, not only in the Eucharist, but also in the least of men. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. As you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. These words of the Lord take us further and further into the heart of Christian life. The story begins with ordinary manners, which form the point of departure. The next step is that we... But also in the least of men. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. As you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. These words of the Lord take us further and further into the heart of Christian life. The story begins with ordinary manners, which form the point of departure. The next step is that we have to learn not to reduce manners to an empty and dishonest structure, and then to find unity with the lowest and the last, who is really the highest and the first, the Redeemer, the one who invites us to his table to share in the Eucharist, wants to lead us to a more and more completely Eucharistic life. In this way, we shall find him more and more easily on the way of everyday life, and thus be also on the way toward his eternal wedding feast, where those who are lowest and last will be forever highest and first. That's actually from Pope Benedict XVI, who was Pope from 2005 to 2013. I really liked that one. I liked that one a lot. Let us profess our faith now in the Apostles' Creed. I'm sorry, the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, and I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now we're going to have our special intentions from Magnificat, again, supplied happily by Magnificat, the monthly liturgy magazine for Catholics. Lifting up our hearts in prayer, we call upon the name of God as we now turn to the Father and ask for the renewal of the Church and an ever greater commitment to Jesus, the Bridegroom, that those in civil authority dedicate themselves to justice, peace, authentic freedom, and the generous defense of the poor, for blessings on all students and teachers as they begin a new school year, for all who are lonely, anxious, depressed, or suffering from emotional burdens, that they may know with greater conviction that the Lord is close to them. For the unemployed and all who are in financial difficulty, for the grace this week to grow in humility and charity, we pray for all the people attached to our community, especially Henry and his ongoing spiritual conversion, and struggle for better working conditions. We pray for Bill and his ongoing chronic battling with suffering and mental anxiety, for the healing of his subconscious mind and his relationship with God, that God will change the way that he thinks to conform to this pattern of Christ, the bridegroom. Pray for all the people attached to our community and all those in need, particularly Linda, Julia, Father Rob, Father Vili, Deacon Tony, Deacon Alejandro, and all the rest that we need to pray for, we promise to pray for, known and unknown. Loving Father, you are our help. Your kindness is a greater good than life. May we bless you in our daily lives, always calling upon your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, let's take a look and see if we can pray a little bit more with our divine office. We do well to sing to your name, Most High, and proclaim your mercy at daybreak. Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to your name, thanks to the Lord, to make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your truth in the watches of the night. On the ten-stringed lyre and the lute, with the murmuring sound of the harp, we do well to sing to your name, Most High, and proclaim your mercy at daybreak. Your deeds, O Lord, have made me glad. For the work of your hands I shout with joy. O Lord, how great are your works! How deep are your designs! The foolish man cannot know this, and the fool cannot understand. We do well to sing to your name, Most High, and proclaim your mercy at daybreak. Though the wicked spring up like grass, and all who do evil thrive, they are doomed to be eternally destroyed. But you, Lord, are eternally on high. See how your enemies perish. All doers of evil are scattered. We do well to sing to your name, Most High, and proclaim your mercy at daybreak. To me you give the wild oxen strength. You anoint me with the purest oil. My eyes looked in triumph on my foes. My ears heard gladly of their fall. The just will flourish like the palm tree and grow like a Lebanon cedar. We do well to sing to your name, Most High, and proclaim your mercy at daybreak. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Still bearing fruit when they are old, still full of sap, still green, to proclaim that the Lord is just. In him, my rock, there is no wrong. I bless you, Lord, Almighty, through the night, and I bless you, King of heaven and earth, even though things may not seem to be going right. I bless you, Lord, Almighty God, because you have brought a vision of life that brings joy to my soul. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Mary, please take away our burdens and help us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We do well to sing to your name, Most High, and proclaim your mercy at daybreak. And off we go. Let's take a look at our readings. First reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Prophet speaks from the heart, and this is a combination of two passages from chapter 11 and chapter 12. I knew it because the Lord informed me. At that time, you, O Lord, showed me their doings. You would be in the right, O Lord, if I should ever dispute, if I should dispute with you. Even so, I must discuss the case with you. Why does the way of the godless prosper? Why live all the treacherous in contentment? You planted them, they have taken root. They kept on growing and bearing fruit. You are upon their lips, but far from their innermost thoughts. You, O Lord, know me, you see me. You have found that at heart I am with you. Pick them out like sheep for the slaughter. Set them apart for the days of carnage. How long must the earth mourn, the green of the whole countryside wither, for the wickedness of those who dwell in it? Beasts and birds disappear, because they say God does not see our ways. If running against men has wearied you, how will you race against horses? And if in a land of peace you fall headlong, what will you do in the thickets of the Jordan? For even your own brothers, the members of your father's house, betray you. They have recruited a force against you. Do not believe them, even if they are friendly to you in their words. Yet I, like a trusting lamb, led to slaughter, had not realized that they were hatching plots against me. Let us destroy the tree in its vigor. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will be spoken no more. But you, O Lord of armies, O just judge, searcher of mind and heart, let me witness the vengeance you take on them, for to you I have entrusted my cause. I abandoned my house, cast off my heritage. The beloved of my soul I deliver into the hands of her foes. My heritage has turned on me, like a lion in the jungle. Because she has roared against me, I treat her as an enemy. My heritage is a prey for hyenas, is surrounded by vultures. Come, gather together, all you beasts of the field, come and eat. Many shepherds have ravaged my vineyard, have trodden my heritage underfoot. The portion that delighted me they have turned into a desert waste. They have made it a mournful waste, desolate it lies before me. Desolate all the land, because no one takes it to heart. Upon every desert height, brigands have come up. The Lord has a sword that which consumes the land from end to end. No peace for all mankind. They have sown wheat and reaped thorns. They have tired themselves out to no purpose. They recoil before their harvest, the flaming anger of the Lord. Responsory prayer. Now my soul is troubled, yet what am I to say? Father, save me from this hour. But it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Why, O my soul, are you sad? And why do you sigh within me? Father, glorify your name. And our reading from the tradition of preaching within the church is from a sermon by St. Augustine of Hippo. So our tradition of preaching here at Sieges is a bit. The caption is, the Lord has had pity on us. Happy are we if we do the deeds of which we have heard and sung. Our hearing them makes having them planted on us, while our doing them shows that the seed is borne fruit. By saying this, I wish to caution you, dearly beloved, not to enter the church fruitlessly, satisfied with mere hearing of such mighty blessings and failing to do good works. For we have been saved by his grace, says the apostle, and not by our own works, lest anyone may boast. For it is by his grace that we have been saved. And it is not as if a good life of some sort came first, and that thereupon God showed his love and esteem for it from on high, saying, let us come to the aid of these men and assist them quickly, because they are living a good life. No, our life was displeasing to him. Whatever we did by ourselves was displeasing to him, but what he did in us was not displeasing to him. We will therefore condemn what we have done, but we will save what he himself has done in us. We were not good, but God had pity on us and sent his Son to die. Not for good men, but for bad ones. Not for the just, but for the wicked. Yes, Christ died for the ungodly. Notice what is written next. One will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man one might dare even to die. Perhaps someone can be found who will dare to die for a good man. But for the unjust man? For the wicked man? The sinner? Who would be willing to die except Christ alone, who is so just that he justifies even the unjust? And so, my brothers, we had no good works, for all our works were evil. Yet, although men's actions were such, God in his mercy did not abandon men. He sent his Son to redeem us, not with gold or silver, but at the price of his blood poured out for us. Christ, the spotless lamb, became the sacrificial victim, led to the slaughter for the sheep that were blemished. If indeed one can say that they were blemished and not entirely corrupt, such is the grace we have received. Let us live so as to be worthy of this great grace, not do injury to it. So mighty is the physician who has come to us, that he has healed all our sins. If we choose to be sick once again, we will not only harm ourselves, but show ingratitude to the physician as well. Let us then follow Christ's paths, which he has revealed to us, above all the path of humility, which he himself became for us. He showed us that path by his precepts, and he himself followed it by his suffering on our behalf, in order to die for us, because as God he could not deny. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Immortal One took on mortality, that he might die for us, and by dying put to death our death. And this is what the Lord did. This, the great gift he granted to us, the Mighty One was brought low. The Lowly One was slain, and after he was slain, he rose again and was exalted. For he did not intend to leave us dead in hell, not to leave us dead in hell, but to exalt in himself at the resurrection, but to exalt in himself at the resurrection of the dead, those whom he had already exalted and made just by the faith and praise he gave them. Yes, he gave us the path of humility. If we keep to it, we shall confess our belief in the Lord and have good reason to sing. We shall praise you, God. We shall praise you and call upon your name. Responsory prayer. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, for great is your mercy toward me. You are my God, I give you thanks. My God, I give praise to you, for great is your mercy toward me. Thank you for this great gift of the Word of God in Scripture and also in tradition, in this preaching of tradition. And of course, it's not inerrant in exactly the same way, so we need to understand that. But this is such a powerful and inerrant understanding of what we've been reading about in our Mass reading and in our God, especially in that reading from Jeremiah. Blessed be God forever. Canticle of Zechariah, listen and understand the instructions the Lord has given you. When you are invited to a wedding, go to the lowest place, and so that the one who invited you can say, "Friend, go up higher." Then you will be honored in the sight of all who are at table with you. Now let us finish this, and we continue our prayers in spirit. Almighty God, every good thing comes from you. Fill our hearts with love for you. Increase our faith, and by your constant care, protect the good you have given us. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen.